So chapter 29 of Jeremiah, I love this chapter, and I know that we as a group over the years have spent many hours just soaking in this chapter, and we've done it in several of our group sharing times from the book of Ezekiel, the book of Jeremiah. I think even 1 Peter, we looked into this verse in this chapter. But the Lord is so precious in the things of his heart that he has shared with us. And he shares in this particular letter, in this particular chapter from Jeremiah. Now, it's not all going to make sense at first, but I believe that there is a weaving together of some of the very, very basic first steps that are actually in the sense realm reality, spirit realm reality book or course that God first gave through Pastor Randy. I believe some of those first basic things are going to be displayed in this chapter of Jeremiah in a manner that can reach us from a little bit of a different angle and kind of reach in through the heart angle. So it will come together more as we look, but that's kind of where we're going. And I'll just begin reading here in chapter 29 of Jeremiah with verse 1. So we have now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders who were carried away captives. Okay, so there, let's just stop right there. There's so much right there. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm certainly not trying to come as a teacher or someone who knows or this or that. I'm just coming as someone at the feet of Jesus who needs him, who is seeking his heart with my brothers and sisters who love him. So that's the spirit of this. But it says in the first word, now. We've seen that in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, the first word now. It's there, and I think you see it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I think this word now really is an important word in the scriptures. I really, really do. And it signifies that at this exact point, something can come forth or will come forth or is going to be manifest or displayed or brought to the surface, okay? So the now that we're looking at here in chapter 29 of Jeremiah is the fact that Judah, the people of God, the prophets of God, the priests of God, the royalty of his house, the people who are called by his name, all these people that are God's people, for years and 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 years have been stuck in an enormous rut in the earth, even though they have been going to temple and offering sacrifice and celebrating feast day and used of God in all the traditional ways God himself ordained for them as his people to do. For endless and endless and endless amount of time. Even in the presence of prophets crying out the heart of Jesus and ministers preaching the word and all these things coming, they were just stuck in this rut of being held to the things that they saw, being held bondage to the things that they felt, being held captive to their understandings, being held bound to the earth, their life in the earth, their situation in the earth. You could put it this way. The people of God are in bondage. They are held captive in their own realm. They are stuck in the earth. They are stuck in their souls, their minds, their wills, their emotion. They are stuck in their circumstances. They're just stuck. They're offering up sacrifices constantly, and the smoke from the altar is ascending to God. But that's pretty much the only thing that's ascending to God, is the smoke from the carcass of an animal that they laid on a fire. Because their hearts are still very, very, very much stuck in how they feel and in what they think and what their understanding is and the situations that are in their earth lives and in their personal realms. And if that makes sense, though all these things around them declare the glory of God and a relationship of oneness and of communion that is just eternal and heavenly and not of this world and transcends time and space and lifts us up out of ourselves, even though all of the things surrounding them within that Jerusalem, Judah, temple, order of God, community and culture that they dwelt in for so many years at this time, testified of that God, pointed to that God in their very extremely daily walk, real time, real life, right down into the down and dirty reality of where I'm at right now. Those people were stuck. They were stuck. They didn't hear when the word of God was preached. It just was like, you know, boring, just blah, blah, blah. It speaks of this in some of the prophets. Isaiah speaks of it, but they all do in certain places. The solemn feasts, the assemblies, they were just tradition. There was no lifting up out from themselves into union with God and into His heart, into His realm, into the spirit realm reality, into God's reality. Everything was very much still the sense realm reality, their reality. So it says here in chapter 29, now, at this point in the history of God's people, when they're stuck in their sense realm, these are the words of a letter that Jeremiah, God's prophet who specifically was sent, and this is important to see, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders who were carried away captive to Babylon. From Jerusalem to Babylon. This letter is written to the very first group of captives that were carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. And I believe that there's some real strong significance within that that can help us in our own lives. So if we look at Jerusalem in the sense of being the spiritual place of God's heart, of God's desires, of God's realm, and the scripture in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26 came to me, and I'll just read that. That's, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So the Jerusalem and what Jerusalem represented in type and shadow in the physical place that is spoken of in these prophecies in Judah, I believe ultimately represents and signifies the spiritual reality of the Jerusalem, which is from above, which is in God, which is our place in Christ, which is spirit. It's above. It's not down here in the earth. But it is above in God, the Jerusalem which is above. And if we look even closer into the Word of God, we will see in the book of Revelation that that Jerusalem which is above is called the New Jerusalem, which is actually the Bride of the Lamb who has come up out of the earth and joined with Him in His place and taken upon her His image and born within her His being instead of her being. From beneath, but that's kind of skipping ahead. So there is these captives who have been carried away captive. We'll talk about that in a minute, from Jerusalem to Babylon. but God is sending His word through Jeremiah to the ones who have been carried away, the very first group that got carried away from Jerusalem, carried away into Babylon. God sent His prophet to speak to them from Jerusalem, to speak to them from Jerusalem into Babylon. And it's just beautiful. Let's just take a moment here and look at this wording. That those who were carried away captive. I think that wording is really important because I think that the real captivity first happened in the hearts of the people. It did not happen when Nebuchadnezzar came and the Babylonians took the city by force and forced people to leave Jerusalem and come into Babylon. I mean, I don't believe that that is the real captivity. I believe that's just a sign of what had already happened. But I believe that the people of Jerusalem, God's people, were already carried away in their hearts by the things of this earth, by the things of their soul life, by the things of the sense realm reality, by the things that they saw and that they felt and that they thought, you know, the things that that just made sense and affected them in their own understanding. In the very first sentences in the Sense Realm Reality, Spirit Realm Reality booklet, it says, understanding the fallen man, and that the sense realm is how the fallen man discovers his world. He never had the ability to see, feel, hear, etc. Oh, yeah, no, he always did. Man fell into darkness when his spirit fell into disuse and he began operating by his senses. Darkness is then defined as living in the realm of the senses. So these people were already carried away from living by God's light, by living from God's reality, from living in God's place, from living in God's view, from being with God where He is at. You know, they were already carried away from that place but their souls and their self-life and their personal needs and their views and their thoughts and their circumstances and their desires, you know, self, the soul, the earth, our situations, all these things that happen in our place and in our realm, down here in the earth, in Babylon, if you will. They carried those people's hearts away from Jesus in His place, away from His spirit realm reality, away from the Jerusalem which is above, the bride of His heart, the place of His habitation. That their hearts were already carried away from the Jerusalem of God and taken captive to the things of this earth and taken captive to the things of our soul life and taken captive to the things of our senses that cause us to function separate from God and independent from God. And so God has this man who knows his heart and feels his heart and carries his heart for the people, he has this man write a letter to the very first group, because there were three of them that were taken into captivity and brought into Babylon from Jerusalem or from Judah. God, from the very beginning, stirred up the heart of Jeremiah and spoke by his spirit to have him write a letter to that first group. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful letter. Let me just read my notes here. Okay, so in verse 4 of chapter 29, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all the people who are carried away captive, and here it says, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. So the Lord is saying in verse 4 of this letter, He's saying, listen, I allowed this. I caused this to happen where you are in Babylon for a certain amount of time. And it says here in verse 10, and basically verses 5 through 7 just say, you know, don't resist this. There's something I'm trying to do. There's something I'm working together for good in this time period. And you see that in verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are accomplished at Babylon, it doesn't use the word in Babylon, it says at, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return even unto this place. Okay, this is so wonderful. So there's so many wonderful things in that sentence. But he says, the good work that God is doing towards his people in this 70-year experience in Babylon, in the sense realm, is not to bless them in their sense realm existence down here, but to do something in their hearts that would cause them to return to his place. Verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, thoughts to give you an expected end. But verse 10 kind of, you know, shares a little bit about what that expected end is. And he says it, I want to, after 70 years are accomplished, I want to cause you to return to my place. What is this expected end? What is this good work that these 70 years in Babylon were meant to accomplish in those whose hearts had kind of been taken captive by the earth, by the soul, by the sense realm? He said, the good work it's doing, the expected end, is that you from your heart are going to want to return back to the Jerusalem of my heart, that you are going to want to come back and rebuild that relationship. You are going to want to come back and return from living in your soul, living in your senses, living for self, living by everything that's going on around you, to find your life in me, to find your life in my place, to find your eyes in my eyes, to find your hearing by my spirit, to understand things because I'm the head and I have the eyes, and it's my view that you embrace. It's my purposes that define what's going on. It's just the beauty of being one with Jesus. Yeah. And so he's going, listen, you are already taken captive by the earth, by the soul, by the sense realm reality down here. You are already totally bound up and stuck well years and years and years before Nebuchadnezzar even came into power. Well before there was even a Babylonian Empire, there was a captivity within the hearts of my people. And though they did the routine in Jerusalem and everything looked like it was ascending to my place and dwelling with me in oneness, the hearts of my people were very much stuck down in the earth. And the Lord's everlasting love wherewith he hath loved us, his tremendous, never-failing love that always sees us in his Son and holds us in oneness, was moved on the behalf of his people, on the behalf of his Son. It just, a tremendous love wherewith he hath loved us, began to draw us to himself in a way that maybe we wouldn't have expected. It didn't make sense to the people at the time, but he said, listen, you're already in bondage. I'm going to bring you into Babylon where there's, you know, you can't be deceived by all the religious shadows going on around you that make you feel like you're living in the spirit realm when you're really captive to the sense realm. And during those years, something in your heart is going to divide the realms, is going to see the difference, is going to seek me in a new way and hunger and thirst for me in a new way. And it says that here as it continues on. Verse 11, we just read, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, that you're going to be back with me. This relationship's going to be rebuilt better than before. Praise Jesus. Verse 12, then you will call upon me. You'll go and pray to me. I will hearken to you. You're going to seek me and find me. You're going to search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, saith the Lord. And I will turn your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places to which I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Praise God. He's saying, I'm going to bring you back. But this time when I bring you back to Jerusalem, it's not going to be something that's just a routine or a religious tradition or a word that bears witness, but you're still stuck captive in the earth and your soul and your circumstance. I'm going to work this good work in you. I'm going to bring forth this expected end in you that's going to release your heart from being bound to its sense realm reality. It's going to release your soul from being only focused on what's going on with me. It's going to release your reality from being stuck in all the things that are happening in your life. And it's going to break you loose from all of that in your heart. And you're going to come away, my love, and you're going to return to me in my place, and you're going to hear ye the word of the Lord that's coming to you from Jerusalem, and it's going to resonate in your heart in Babylon, and you're going to, man, you're going to go, wow, that's the same word that I heard when I was in Jerusalem, but now it's coming to me from Jerusalem to Babylon, and I am hearing the reality of what's true in Christ, and what's true in the Spirit, and what's true in his heart, and what's true in his person, and what's true in his being. And that's who I am. I am not a Babylonian. I am not a sense realm person that lives by what it feels and what it thinks and how it sees and what's happening to it in the earth. I am one with the Lamb of God. I am from above. My life is in Christ. I am raised up and seated together with him in heavenly places. In him I live and move and have my being. And all these words that are coming from the very heart of God, from Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of God's heart above in the Spirit, down to his beloved people in Babylon, in their captivity to the earth and their soul and their sense realm reality, is starting to seed their heart, is starting to create a contrast they never had before when they were dwelling in Jerusalem in the earth. And it's beginning to work a good work in their hearts. And that good work is that their hearts are starting to turn from their sense realm reality, from their soul, from their earth and its needs and circumstances, unto God in his reality, in his place, in the spirit realm, in the truth of what his word is declaring out from the spirit realm and not what it is in our realm. And it's beautiful. Then you will call upon me, and I will hearken unto you. We just read those beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scriptures. He's looking for a return by love. He's not just saying, let everyone be convinced that God is true in the Spirit and that the Word of God is right and our feelings and emotions are wrong and we should believe what the Bible says, even though everything we think we understand feels more true and the circumstances feel more real. And our lives down here seem more important. And everything about Babylon seems much more, you know, needing. But this word coming from Jerusalem to Babylon, it's drawing the hearts of God's people back up to him. They're sitting there and they're in Babylon. Now everything that's going on doesn't have all the religious garb or the things that make it look holy or make it look like it's of God. It's just the basic, this is my life in my realm, my thought, my view, my need, my situation. And I'm living by that instead of finding all of my springs are in thee, oh my God, all of my fountains, oh fountain of living waters. You are my source, you are the head, you are the fullness. You know, the contrast is able to happen. We take that contrast as condemnation. We take that contrast as failure. We take that contrast as time out or God rejecting us. But if you really look in the spirit of these letters, God is being constrained by an incredible love to work everything together to draw his people's hearts back in a deep and real way. Uncoerced and undemanded, you know, but just really draw them to say, you know, I bet my view down here in my feelings based on my soul, maybe it isn't just the ultimate end of what's really going on. Maybe there's something coming down from Jerusalem where God is, who has a huge view of everything because he's God and he's above all, who knows beyond what I know, who holds everything in his hand, who loves us, has given himself for us, and made us one with his Son, maybe the word that's coming from Jerusalem is more real than my word of reality in my soul and senses down here in Babylon. Maybe my heart needs to turn away from what I think is real and right and true and receive the word of his heart that's flowing down from above on the wings of a dove, written in love, poured out in care, sent from Jerusalem straight into my Babylon, not to condemn me, not to push me away, but that I might return to my first love, return to oneness with God in his place, to rebuild those places that are broken down walls and broken down fences and broken down doors and broken down rooms, all these things broken down because I've been trying to build them based on my soul and my life in the earth and my needs and all these things in Babylon. When this whole temple rose up because of oneness with a slaughtered lamb and the Father exalting him, and what would have taken us lifetimes would took God 3 days of oneness and love in his eternal being to bring forth the most beautiful Jerusalem, worlds without end, his bride, the place where the Lamb is the life and the light. And here I am down here in my little thoughts and feelings and earth, trying to build it for him with my materials. And these walls are broken down. And these gates are broken down. It's like Nehemiah when he went back before the captives, right when the 70 years was over, right when it was over, and this good work had taken root in some of the people's hearts in Babylon, some of God's people in Babylon, they let these words do this good work. Nehemiah comes along around the end of that time period, and he goes, man, I am stirred up in my spirit to go back and rebuild those walls around Jerusalem. And there were these other people who were like, let's return and let's rebuild. Let's return and let's rebuild. What does that mean? Let's return to taking God at his word. Let's return to believing the word of his heart by the Holy Spirit opening up God's view, God's person, God's desires, God's spirit in us, God's nature. Let's return to the Jerusalem above. Let's return to the spirit realm reality of God's heart. Let's rebuild that into our lives. Let's rebuild that into our personal walk. Let's rebuild that into our very way as the habitation of God in the earth. Let's rebuild that relationship with God so that he can inhabit us again and find expression in his people, in his Jerusalem, and his pride, and his body. Let's return and let's rebuild. And so I think that within that, there's several points that we need to just kind of consider. One is captivity. Captivity is a huge theme for the people of God all throughout the Old Testament. People being taken captive, people being taken into captivity, and what does that mean? Even in Romans 7, there's a captivity there. What does that mean? Taken captive, being in bondage. Are we in bondage to our thoughts? Do they take us captive or do we take them captive? Taking every thought captive unto the knowledge of God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Do our thoughts take us captive? Or do we take them captive and make them submit to the word of God, to the word as the Jerusalem from above, the God's word? It's okay. We don't have to be right now. We just have to be real because the Lord is the one who makes us right. We just be real. He'll make us right by his life. So we have to just say, hey, in this or that area, am I in captivity to my soul Am I in captivity to my circumstances? Am I in captivity to my thought life or my emotions? Am I in captivity to my view of things? Am I in captivity to my eyes, to my ears that hear things a certain way? Am I captive? If we are, praise God, because Jesus is moving on the behalf of his captives. If you read through Isaiah and through the prophets, I just challenge you to get in there and read some of the beautiful things that God says to his captives about how he's going to help them enter into oneness and be free from those bondages and be his in fullness all the way, all the way. But we have to start here. Am I in bondage? And if so, what are some practical steps from my heart that I can take on a daily, minute-to-minute basis that can start setting me free to be with Jesus in the way I was created to be with him, in oneness, in his place, in the Spirit, in the Jerusalem that is above, in Christ? Okay, how can I do that? Well, I believe that during the 70 years where God was doing his good work in the people, God was beginning in type and shadow to answer some of those steps that we can apply right now in our lives. And the first is very simple, and I think this is maybe some of our beginning practical steps for some personal application in the things we've been sharing up to this point. It's our fourth class, and I feel like the Lord's wanting to get some personal things started now. And you may want to start journaling at this point. You may ask the Lord if that's right for you. It's between you and Jesus. It's whatever the Lord and you have. That's all that matters. But you might say, Lord, am I in captivity? I'll tell you a personal thing. The Lord this past week did this very exact thing in my life. He showed me that I have had a tremendous problem with seeing things through my own eyes and thinking that I'm seeing them and discerning them and understanding them all in a deeply spiritual way, and being off, and it really just coming from my own view. And he said, you know, Kelly, you are in bondage to your view of things. You are in bondage to what you see and how that makes you understand this or that or the other. That's a bondage because you believe it, you embrace it, and you hold to that, and if it's not me, it's keeping you bound, captive to that. And he said, now you want to get free, here's a practical step. Well, during this time period, I scratched one of my eyes in 5 different places. Yes, 5 different places. My eyes swelled shut. It was awful. It was for like about 2 weeks, I guess. And I said, Lord, you know, I need to anoint my eyes with some eye salve here. And I need to see again, you know. But I thought, I think this is one of those good works you're trying to do in me right now. And so I said, Lord, you know, the physical is just that. It's just the earth. It's just the temporal. It's just a tool. What are you trying to do in my heart right now with this? And he showed me, you know, I am trying to awaken you to the fact that you're in bondage to your view. See, that's a sense realm thing. Our senses, our sight, sound, what we hear, touch, taste, our perceptions in the natural 5 senses. Not part of being born again and living by the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the truth as it is in Jesus. Just living as a natural man and, you know, seeing by my own eyes. And so he says, you need to anoint those eyes with eye salve. But not the eye salve of just medicine or trying to get those Kelly's eyes more spiritual, see more deep things, get Kelly's eyes more discerning. He said, girl, your eyes are in the head. And here's some really big news. You are not the head. Jesus is the head of the body. He is the head of his church. Jesus is the head. God hath made him so. And the eyes are in the head. And so if you want to start seeing properly, if you want to start not going by your sense realm reality and start living in his reality, you're going to have to stop believing your view, holding on to your view, embracing your reality as God's reality. And you're going to have to anoint him. Anoint him as your eyes. Anoint Jesus as the one who has the right view, the true view. You know, if you look in the book of Revelation, the Lamb has tons of eyes. They're all in him. He's got the eyes. He sees. And he's given me his word. He's given me his word, and he's given me his Holy Spirit so that I could see from his view through oneness by the Spirit and by the word. So you say, you need to quit anointing you. And you start anointing his eyes and saying, I want to see from your view. I want your view, which is above my view. I want your view, which is in the Spirit. Your view, which is the word of God and the truth, you know, as it is in Jesus. And start walking that way. Stop saying you know and saying you see and acting like you're so spiritual. And get humble and get low and say, Lord, show me your view. I submit to you. And you know, the word of God declares his view. And the Holy Spirit brings us into the light of that. So I just said, okay, I am with you, Jesus. And I am ready to stop trusting in my own understanding. But in all my ways acknowledge you. And lean not to my own understanding. And trust that you will make my path straight. And that you will send your light. And that you have given your word to be a lamp unto my feet. You know, so there's much to say about that, but that's just a practical example, and it's something that I had to get with the Lord on and apply in a very real way and learn to rebuild those walls in my house that Jesus could inhabit it again. Rebuilding those walls, returning to him. Lord, I'm sorry I left you to be something spiritual for you. Lord, I'm sorry I left your eyes to have my own separate from you. Lord, I'm returning to you. To the Jerusalem which is above, to the Lamb upon the throne, to the head of the body, to Jesus who is the head, the fullness, and the life, and the eyes are there. And I'm rebuilding that relationship into my life and into my daily walk so that you can find habitation in me again and the true Jerusalem can manifest, not just the religious one. I know there's a lot there, but I believe that there are steps in each of our lives. Another person's area may be, I just understand everything. I really am a person of strong mental, cognitive reasoning. I feel like I understand everything. I just get it. I just understand. And I perceive deep into it what it would. Yeah, if that's not coming from the Word of God, the truth as it is in Jesus, the Spirit of God, you know what I'm saying? If it's just our mental reasonings, our own sense realm, mind, will, and emotion, then it's coming from us. And that is darkness. We fell into darkness. We fell from living by the Spirit through oneness into this realm of darkness where we live by our senses. And we're taken captive by that. And so for some of us, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to, and has been maybe even, pointing out an area where maybe it's our emotions. Lord, I'm so emotional. I just feel like my reality is how I feel. My reality is what my emotions are telling me. If I feel close to you, then I am close to you. If I feel far from you, then I am far from you. And then when I'm close to you, I feel great. But when my emotions feel far from you, I'm in bondage to my emotions. And I feel like I can't love you. I can't be yours. The truth is, the word of God's not true anymore. I've got to do something to earn your love. You know, that's captivity to our emotions. Well, that's one of the sense realm. That's mind, will, and emotions. That's living by our feelings. That's all down here. That's all in our realm. That's all us. How do I get free from that? We switch realms. We stop living in our realm and we come away. And come unto him, and we hear the word of his heart that's being sent from Jerusalem to Babylon, and we leave. We are crucified with Christ. We are dead. We are not supposed to live in our feelings. We are not supposed to live by our old views. We are not supposed to live by our mind explaining everything. We're supposed to live by oneness with Christ. We're supposed to live by the word. We're supposed to live by the truth as it is in Jesus. We're supposed to live by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to live by him. And in a practical, I mean, that sounds good in a deep spiritual way, but in a very practical way, that breaks down nuts and bolts to forget about my emotions. What does the Word of God say is true? Christ is my life. Forget about what I think. What does the Word of God say is true? The Word of God is exalted even above His name. God gave me the Holy Spirit to bring me to Jesus. Is this the Holy Spirit bringing me to Jesus, or is this my own interpretation of things? Is this my emotions? Is this my thoughts? And that time in Babylon where sometimes circumstances come, situations arise, the storm gets bigger, the waves start crashing. You know, sometimes the Lord might allow or even maybe just use those times to create the contrast between what we feel, what we think, how we understand our lives down here, and the truth in the spirit realm where He lives, how He sees things, what He feels, and what's really going on. I mean, I think when we looked at the picture of Jesus in the boat, was it last week or the week before, or the class before, that was right there. Look what Jesus, He was in perfect peace. He was filled with love. He was in the bosom of His Father. He was unmoved by the earth and its storms, and He was just in a place of oneness. But the disciples were living somewhere else. They were living in another realm with another reality motivating them. But in Christ now, we're not down here like those disciples being moved and tossed to and fro with every storm and circumstance. We are one with Him, and He's the one who's to move us in oneness by His life. And so God sometimes uses things in our lives to say, are we still in that boat? Are we still down here in our lives being tossed to and fro with every circumstance, feeling, thought? Or are we with Jesus in rest? Are we with Jesus in oneness? Are we with Jesus in tune with His heart? Are we allowing Him to breathe in us, the breath of life, flow into us, His views and ways? You know, and those two words I keep feeling for us, very practical. And I think our discussion time today will probably be really helpful, because a lot of this probably will be more established through each other's comments and as the Lord gives things through one another. But that return to the Jerusalem which is above, to the truth as it is in Jesus, to the spirit realm reality where God is, if you will, in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places. Returning there from being held captive to everything going on in our lives down here, and rebuilding that reality into our relationship with Jesus and into our daily life by applying it in faith. And we're going to probably be walking these steps out a lot more practically in weeks to come. And that's where we should probably, if led of the Lord, start journaling, because we can help one another with the things we're going through and the things we'll be learning in this process. But as we walk that out, I mean, it will be everything from, I don't go by what I feel. I go by the Word of God. How do I apply that? When a feeling comes in this and that situation, I cast it down and bring it into submission to the truth as it is in Jesus. You know, and we're going to talk more about those things. They're all coming. But these practical steps that we're fixing to go into in the weeks to come are going to help us incorporate that return to His place and that rebuilding of oneness with Him who is our life, Him who is from above, Him who is spirit and life, into our relationship with Jesus and our walk down here. So I really feel like, you know, that's kind of where the Lord wants us to stay. There's a lot more to say, but we don't really want to say anything unless the Lord wants us to say it. I really would encourage everybody to read through. If I emailed it to you on our very first class, I think I did. I can resend it. Those first few pages of Chapter 1, the Sense Realm Reality and the Spirit Reality course written by Pastor Randy, because it's going to kind of play right into the things that we shared today. So let's just end with this final verse here in Chapter 29 of Jeremiah. It's verse 20. It's our key verse, I believe, for this whole study and step that today has brought us. It says, "Hear, therefore, the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, which I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon." I mean, I believe that that is our scripture for the day. I would memorize that one. In fact, the Lord gave me a song about 20 years ago, and I'm going to attach it to the email because it's just the scripture sung over and over again. Hear ye therefore, hear, hear, hear the word of the Lord. Hear that it's coming from Jerusalem down to Babylon. Hear everyone who is in captivity. The word of the Lord is coming. Hear what it's saying. You know, it's the exact same thing God had his spirit, had John say to the seven churches when he was writing them letters. I mean, here we have Jeremiah writing a letter to those who are in captivity in Babylon, encouraging them to come up and to be with God above in his Jerusalem, in the spirit realm. The exact same thing happened in the book of Revelation when God has John, his apostle, write a letter to his seven churches that are stuck in captivity in the earth, in the seven churches. And in his letter, he's saying, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, to him who overcomes, to him who comes out of the earth and returns to our place, comes up to the Lamb, comes up to the Spirit, comes away from the earth, their soul, their situation, and into union with Christ, who is risen and above all of it, where our life is, who our life is. He shall overcome. But you have to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Come away. Come up here. Overcome. Come out of her. Flee. Arise. Leave that place. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Do not set your affections on things below, on things of the earth. Set your affections on things above, for that's where your life is. That's the book of Colossians chapter 3. Setting our affections there is a daily thing. Returning and rebuilding, that's a daily heart thing. And it's probably going to be an absolutely wonderful journey for us in this incredible season that we're in of spending time just knowing Jesus and loving him and soaking in his heart and allowing those seeds to go deep, letting that heart just turn by love and applying it in ways that don't have to do with trying to be or become or produce. It's just the love turn, you know? It's just the love turn. Turning away from that old brain that won't stop talking to see his beautiful face. Turning away from that old emotion that keeps demanding all my attention. You just won't stop, will you? Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to turn my heart and look at the face of Jesus. Oh, that's a work. That's not a work. That's love. I can do that all day long in the year of rest. I can turn my heart away from that loud soul that's screaming out, help me, I need things. Pay attention to me. What about me? What about this? You can't spend time with Jesus. It's all about... I am full of a wonderful opportunity to turn my heart away from that voice and say, excuse me, it's the year of rest. I am going to just go and spend time looking at the face of Jesus, where he's at. Goodbye. What about that physical body? Oh my gosh, this pain is too much. Pay all your attention to me. Down here in my physical body, it's my time. I hurt too much. It's too hard to live with. You got to pay all your attention. Pour all your ointment on me. Pour all your ointment on me. Don't take any of that ointment and pour it on the feet of Jesus. I get all the ointment. It's all for me because I hurt. Mary Bethany goes, I don't care if you hurt. This ointment is for Jesus. Simon the leper, I'm not pouring it on your leprosy. Crying out body, I'm not pouring this ointment on you. I'm going to pour it on Jesus. Yes, I am. I'm going to pour it on Jesus. So you just take that. Praise God. I'm leaving the earth in the sense realm. I'm going to go be with Jesus in the year of rest. Praise God. I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to feed you. I don't have to bow down to you. I don't have to serve you. I'm going to serve my Jesus. I'm going to be with him where he's at. I'm going to live in his realm. I'm just going to turn from me in this sense realm, in my mind, in my soul, in my emotions, in my situation, in my body, and I'm just going to be with Jesus. Love on him and get to know him. Soak in his realm. Believe his truth. Rest under his shade and soak in his rays. Hallelujah. Sounds good to me. Praise Jesus. Return and rebuild at the feet of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this awesome, blessed, wonderful season of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that in this resting and returning. We are rebuilding and giving you someone who is with you where you are at. So we aren't just finding rest, but you are, Lord. Hallelujah. We try to do so much, Jesus, but we can't do anything. We just turn and be with you, and you begin to fill and flow and overcome through oneness. Lord, thank you for that old screaming body. Thank you for it. Thank you for that emotion that just won't get right. Thank you for it. Thank you for that thought life that's so messed up and wrong. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for everything that helps us turn away from it unto Jesus. Thank you for the Babylon that just makes it all so loud and confusing that it just says, hey, I'm turning away from you and I'm going to go up to the Jerusalem from above. I'm going to the Lamb. Thank you for the good work you're doing in my life, 70 years in Babylon. Thank you for the good work you're doing in my life, body that hurts. Thank you for the good work you're doing in my life, messed up emotions and crazy thought life. Because I am leaving, fleeing Babylon. I'm leaving, I'm turning, and I'm returning to Jesus, my first love. And I'm going to build that wall, and I'm going to move into that city, and I'm going to find my life, my sight, by everything there. Lord, have your way. Have your way unto the desires of your heart. And may the joy of the Lord be our strength. Lord, we just tell you now, our heart is with you. Our heart is with you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Lord, we could come to you and say, I just need to fix my emotions. I just need to fix my thought life. I just need to fix my circumstance. Oh, Jesus, we self-forget. We self-forget. We don't even bring these things up into your realm. We just come up and be with you. We leave them all there. They've been crucified. Our life is in you. We just say, Lord, our heart is bound up with yours. We are after you. Who you are is who we are. How you are is how we are. Where you are is where we are. What you are is what we are. We don't listen to the screaming crowds down in the earth that demand our heart and mind. We give ourselves to you because we are your bride and your body. We give ourselves by faith, even though those noises may not stop, even though those feelings may continue, even though those circumstances get worse. Thank you, Lord. It's just opportunities bred for us to just stay with you anyway. To just stay with you anyway. Blessed be the Lamb of God who is worthy to receive. For all things were created for him and his pleasure. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in us. Redeem this time unto your heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.